Today, don't be fooled by the latest CPI read. Rate hikes are coming. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, one of the latest posts covering finance and property news. Well, inflation cooled faster than anticipated to 3.4% in November as a wave of retail discounting helped ease the pressure on household budgets during the holiday period. So while the Australian Bureau of Statistics noted persistent heat in housing, food and transport costs, the headline figure was actually dragged down by aggressive Black Friday sales in the apparel and homeware sectors. Economists had expected annual inflation of 3.6%, but the 3.4% is still tracking above the Reserve Bank of Australia's forecast of 3.3%, and it's above its 2 to 3% target range. So let's not panic. The return of inflationary pressures late last year has put interest rate increases back on the RBA's radar, making the government's goal of containing cost of living pressures more difficult and upending expectations around the RBA's interest rate decisions in 2026. Alex Joyner at IFM noted on X, for the RBA, it looks for a 0.8% quarter-on-quarter Q4 quarterly result to hit its statement on monetary policy forecast. The monthly result to November seems to be running at 0.9% 3 month over 3 month, noting all the caveats around the caution with the new series. The RBA will be watchful, but the upside risk the bank was concerned about in December hasn't materialized in these data. To my mind, this though is not material to the RBA's concerns about hot inflation, and the case the Reserve Bank to lift interest rates still holds firm ahead. Incidentally, note that data is technically plural, the singular is datum, but it's now widely accepted and used as a singular mass noun, like information in everyday English. So both data is and data are common, with usage often depending on context and personal style, though formal or technical writing might lean towards plural usage. So either is actually okay as long as you're consistent and you make yourself understood. Now, the Aussie dollar declined a little and traders trimmed bets on a February rate hike, having been all in prior to the release, but they are still expecting rates to go higher ahead, which places Australia on a different path to other developed economies. Treasurer Jim Chalmers cautiously welcomed the reduction but said inflation remained higher than the government would like. And of course, the ABS continue to massage the CPI data as they transition to more complete monthly estimates. As part of today's release of data to November, they noted, to quote, the previously published quarterly index will be re-referenced and aligned to the new monthly series. September 2025 will serve as the link period where the index will equal 100. This process will create a continuous historical time series for the quarterly CPI. While the levels of the quarterly CPI index will change due to re-referencing, the percentage movements of the index will not be revised. The re-reference quarterly indices will be published for the first time in the December 2025 CPI release, due on Wednesday, the 28th of January 2026. So a bit of number wanging still going on there. Now, it's worth remembering that the cumulative effect of rising prices over time is not reversed, even if headline inflation falls a bit. For many households, budgets pressures continue to build, as I discussed in my recent survey analysis to the end of 2025. The ABS reported that the consumer price index rose 3.4% in the 12 months of November. That's down from 3.8% in October. Always, there will be some ups and downs within the numbers. So, for example, the largest contributor to annual inflation in November was housing, up 5.2%. That was followed by food and non-alcoholic beverages, up 3.3%, and transport, which rose 2.7%. The underlying so-called trim mean inflation was 3.2% in the 12 months of November, down from 3.3% in the 12 months to October. Annual movements prior to April 2025 are calculated by comparing each quarter to the same quarter in the previous year, but from April 2025, those movements are calculated by comparing each month to the same month in the previous year. More number weighing. Annual goods inflation was 3.3% in the 12 months to November, down from 3.8% in October. The main reason for lower annual goods inflation in November was electricity, which rose 19.7% in the 12 months to November, compared to 37.1% to October. Annual service inflation was 3.6% in the 12 months to November, down from 3.9% to October. Annual services inflation eased due to domestic holiday travel following high demand in October from school holidays in all states and territories and major sporting events. The main contributors to annual services inflation to November were rents up 4% and medical and hospital services up 4.6%. Annual housing inflation overall was 5.2% to November. That reflects rise in electricity, rents, and new dwellings. Electricity costs rose 19.7% in the 12 months to November, primarily related to the Queensland State Government electricity rebate being used up by households. That's down from the 37.1% rise to October 2025, reflecting that more households received catch-up payments for the Commonwealth Energy Bill Relief Fund rebate in 2024 compared to 2025. Now, excluding the impact of the Commonwealth and State Government electricity rebates over the past year, electricity prices rose 4.6% in November compared to 5% in the 12 months to October. This reflects annual price reviews from energy retailers in July 2025. So, of course, state and federal governments have meddled with the cost of energy ahead of elections, though those costly measures are now rolling off, and that will lead to higher inflation later. Annual inflation for food non-alcoholic beverages was 3.3% in November. Annual inflation for this group has remained around 3% over the past year. Meals out and takeaway prices rose 3.5% in the year to November. That was driven by rises in wages and ingredient costs. Prices for meat and seafood rose 3.9% in the 12 months of November, and prices for beef and lamb both rose by more than 10% due to strong overseas demand for Australian red meat. Fruit and vegetable prices rose 2.7% in the 12 months of November, up from 1.8% in October. In monthly terms, vegetable prices rose 0.5% in November. That's the first monthly rise since June 2025, with higher prices for asparagus, pumpkins, and broccoli. Fruit prices rose 0.9% in the month of November, with higher prices for apples and citrus fruits. Annual inflation for transport was 2.7% in November, unchanged from October. Automotive fuel prices rose 3.5% in the 12 months to November, up from 1.9% in October. And I would make the point here that while the international price of crude is down, we're not seeing the benefit in Australia. In monthly terms, automotive fuel prices rose 2.5% in November, the strongest monthly rise since June 2025, up 3.6%. Average unleaded fuel prices were 4.8 cents per litre higher compared to October 2025. Why, I ask, given those significant falls in crude internationally? Well, maybe we're being taken to the cleaners again. Now, in addition to providing a more timely read on inflation, the new complete monthly CPI series enables more insights into things like Black Friday sales. So the ABS said having a monthly CPI means we can now clearly see temporary events such as Black Friday sales and compare that across time. In November 2024 and 2025, several goods categories had price falls, including clothing, footwear, and furniture. As the price falls this year were similar to last year, the Black Friday sales were not a major contributor to the change in annual CPI inflation from October to November. But of course, it may shift spending patterns from later in the year around Christmas, so we'll see how that plays out ahead. Now, looking forward, the next key data point before the February meeting of the RBA will be the labour market report, as wage growth and employment trends will heavily influence the decision on whether to maintain or adjust their policy stance when taken together with the inflation metrics. And in 3 weeks, on January 28th, we get the quarterly inflation read. the RBA places more weight on the ABS's old quarterly series, which the central bank just have more confidence in than analysing and predicting. Taken together, the incoming data has reduced the RBA board's confidence in their earlier assessment that monetary policy was still restrictive, the RBA board minutes said from its December the 4th meeting. Members noted that the economy appeared to be operating with a degree of excess demand, and it was not clear whether financial conditions were sufficiently restrictive to bring aggregate demand and supply back into balance. And the board did reiterate its view that the ABS's new monthly inflation data would be, quote, less reliable in the near term, so it will put greater stock on its long-run quarterly series. Annual headline inflation in the September quarter was 3.2%. Now, the board voted unanimously to keep the cash rate at 3.6% in its last meeting, but it was Governor Michelle Bullock's press conference that turned heads, marking the biggest shift in the RBA's message on interest rates since the recent outbreak of inflation. And the RBA has forecast that the annual underlying inflation rate will be 3.2% in the December quarter. Interestingly, Commonwealth Bank is forecasting annual underlying inflation to be 3.3% in the December quarter. Bottom line, though, here is that rates are still more likely to go higher than lower from here. Government spending and policy is inflationary still, and I'm afraid that ordinary people are going to be paying the price. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.